Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Diapers, bottles, onesies, pacifiers. Babies need a lot of things, including a safe place to sleep. For some families, the cost of a crib may be out of reach. For others, the birth may have come sooner than expected. And if the baby spends the night away from home, a safe place to sleep is needed because cribs aren't very portable. It can be a matter of life and death. This year, 12 infants in the city died while sleeping, a frightening increase compared with 7 deaths in 2016. Joining me to talk about keeping babies safe while they sleep is Chantelle Roberts, executive director of the nonprofit Touching Young Lives. Chantelle is also an Open Society Institute Baltimore Community Fellow. She will work for the next year and a half to promote safe sleep practices. I spoke with her in May after she received an award from the Johns Hopkins Social Innovation Lab and asked her to describe the portable alternative to a crib that she promotes.
The Finnish had been using what they call the baby box since the early 1930s, and it was used to combat instances of sudden infant death syndrome amongst their maternal population. What they did, which I thought was very innovative, even back in the 1930s, was they distributed to each mom that had a baby box. And this box was a simple cardboard box with padding at the bottom, and they loaded it with various infant care items to start that parent or that caregiver on their journey. And they've done it in such a way and for so long that it's now become a cultural norm. I learned about it coming into the United States by way of Dr. Hare at Temple University Hospital. So at Temple University Hospital for the last year, every mom that was discharged received a baby box. At discharge, the nurse would educate her on the proper practices and safe sleep education, and they all were afforded a safe sleeping space for their baby.
Safe sleep education.
So safe sleep essentially is what the Academy of American Pediatrics recommends that an infant should sleep in their first year of life. And what we use most often is the acronym ABCD. A, that the baby should sleep alone. No blankets, pillows, toys, stuffed animals, or co-sleeping. B, that the baby should sleep on their back and not their belly. C, the baby should sleep in a crib and not an adult bed or a car seat or any other device that is not a secure, firm, and flat surface. And D, no smoke. So we always want to educate on second and third hand smoking. Second hand being smoke in a home without ventilation. And third hand, which is we're seeing increasingly more common, is when someone thinks they're actually doing a really good thing and going outside to smoke, but it gets into their clothes and their skin and their hair, and they come back inside and they hold the baby, and the baby actually can get contact that way as well.
The box itself, the portable alternative crib, mm-hmm. is what size?
It is about 26 inches long. So it's about the same size as the traditional bassinet. It weighs less and it's more portable because of that. The Baby Box Co., which is the company that I've opted to go with, they've tested them. They've tested them as bassinets. So it's gone under the same testing mechanisms that all certified and verified companies have used for their bassinet usage.
And what is it about the box that keeps a baby safer than alternatives might be?
It's more of a convenience. And specifically for some populations, our most vulnerable populations, the homeless and transient, that don't necessarily have a lot of space to work with or that move often, that no matter wherever they go, they can take with them their most prized possessions and also have a safe sleeping space for their babies. But also for moms that are able to afford a full nursery and multiple gadgets to place their child, they're able to have something lightweight and that they can carry around the house.
Carrying it around the house. So that's an important aspect of it.
Very much so. Because there are often times, you know, we're tired, we're new parents, we may fall asleep on the couch, or we may need to cook dinner, or we may need to go to the basement. And if we don't have something safe to lay our babies, then we're more prone to putting them in an unsafe environment.
That's Chantelle Roberts here on the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cash. She is creator of the Portable Alternative Crib. She's talking about her mission to provide families with a safe place for babies to sleep. Where does your interest in safe sleeping for babies come from?
In 2009, I was a new parent. I gave birth to a beautiful baby girl, and after the very short illness, she died in 2011. It was at that point, I was probably at the lowest I've ever been in my life. And I took an interest in infant mortality because that was a very traumatic experience for myself and for my family. And understanding the trauma behind it and preventative measures that could have been in place that could have maybe stopped that from happening, or I didn't want to see that happen to mm-hmm. someone else. Mm-hmm. So I created the nonprofit organization, Touching Young Lives Incorporated, as a way to bring awareness to best practices for proper hygienic uses and safe sleep.
And what does Touching Young Lives do?
We were a very grassroots organization. We partner with Head Start programs and daycare centers to bring awareness to best practices for safe sleep. Very simple partnering for holidays. We donated toys, all with the concept of having public education around those topics each time.
In addition to your nonprofit, you served in Baltimore as a coordinator under the Be More Healthy Babies Safe Sleep Initiative.
In 2011, when I lost my daughter, I was connected to an organization, the Center for Infant and Child Loss, and they actually act as a liaison between the medical examiner's office and the family. And one referral that they submitted for me was through, at the time, Baltimore Healthcare Access Maryland, and which is now Healthcare Access Maryland. And I had a nurse care coordinator come out the first time I invited a complete stranger into my home. And it was the most refreshing experience I ever had. It was the first time I had a completely objective person to tell my story, to just talk to. She didn't say much. She let me talk. And she was a resource. You know, she asked, what did I need? How I felt. It was just refreshing to just have a voice during that very whirlwind of a time. After then, I was able to be linked to bereavement and grief services. And it was that very pivotal time that I was able to then channel that grief and that pain into something more purposeful. And shortly thereafter, I incorporated my nonprofit. I applied for and was able to get the job as a safe sleep coordinator. And it's oftentimes that I'm able to use my story of how I was once a client and I suffered a loss to relate to my clients that don't think that something like SIDS can happen to them, especially for my younger moms, because at the time, I believe I was 24. And that is very much a target demographic for us when you look at the numbers. I remember at one point looking between 2009 and 2015, we had 106 sleep-related infant deaths. And of those babies, 38% of them, the parents were aged 20 to 24. And that was so much more impactful when I could see that my daughter was one of those babies and I was one of those parents. And so for me, I had to step back from that and receive it, that I was a statistic. I was one of those unfortunate statistics.
But so much more than a statistic that you've created from it. Chantel, what do you hear from the families and parents when you explain to them the best way for a baby to sleep?
Especially in homes of like multi-generational houses, so you may have a grandmother, a mother, other family members. They remember a time when some of these practices were different. For instance, when it was common for babies to sleep on their stomach, or when that was the recommended way, and then that evolved to the baby sleeping on their side, which ultimately now it has evolved to the baby sleeping on their back is the best way for them to sleep. That's always a good conversation, and I love when I can have multiple generations or dads inclusive or other caregivers that could be possibly caring for the baby are present for that conversation so that we're all on one accord. The messaging isn't misconstrued. It is very much what it is. And I'm able to get those very intimate and what they sometimes think are stupid questions that are not stupid at all. Those are new mom questions, or they are just information that they don't know. And that's something that we're finding is that some of these sleep-related deaths, the parents either are not informed on what the best practices are, or they just don't have a mechanism for the baby to sleep in to practice the safe sleep.
I wish you luck.
Oh, thank you so much.
Chantel Roberts is the former Safe Sleep Coordinator for Baltimore City under the Be More for Healthy Babies Safe Sleep Initiative. I spoke with her in May. Chantel is now an Open Society Institute Community Fellow, and she'll continue to promote safe sleep practices and the portable alternative crib in Baltimore. At the On the Record page at WYPR.org, you can listen to more interviews with this year's cohort of OSI Fellows. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.